This is Ozarks at Large. Cletus got shot. Doesn't really tour anymore, but every now and then they'll play a show around Fayetteville. Next week, fans will have two chances to see the local trio, once at the Artist Fair celebration and again during the Block Street Block Party. Last week, Mark Landry, Adam Cox, and Nathan Miller stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio. To begin our conversation, I asked them a question I had been wondering about for some time. Who is Cletus?
There is no Cletus. Hopefully.
Well, he got shot. I guess he's probably all right.
Or who was Cletus, I guess I should say.
No, Cletus is nothing. We had a good friend of mine, Jacob George, he played with us very early on. He played banjo when we were first picking around. And every time we played, we'd come up with a new name. We did one time we were...
Or the Short Notice Band.
The Short Notice Band. And then another time we were the second coming. The Second Coming, yeah. And then at one of the times, eventually, was Cletus Got Shot, because he always wanted to have a punk rock band named Cletus Got Shot. And we did that, and that's, for whatever reason, that's the one that stuck, and we couldn't get rid of it.
I wish we'd stuck with The Second Coming.
Yeah.
I still think it was a great band name.
It is an excellent band name.
It's still open for those of you.
It's for sale.
Well, before we started recording, you told me that you accidentally formed this band, and you actually had an exact date.
August 17th is my birthday. It was 2007. Mm-hmm. Don't know how old I was turning, however old I was that year. But I elected to have a birthday party and have like an acoustic picking circle, invited people to bring instruments. And I already knew Nathan. We played music just randomly. And Adam came. He had just started dating Nathan's cousin at that point, and he was brought to the party and told, hey, bring a guitar. And so he got his guitar out and said, I don't know any songs you guys know. I'm like, well, what do you play then? He's like, I have songs I wrote. And so we played them, and that ended up being like the genesis of the band as we know it.
Okay.
And then after that, Mark would just show up. He would come and find me once a week and say, hey, you want to go play downtown? And I said, where you want to go play? And he said, we'll find a place.
Yeah. On the sidewalk.
It turned out to be Bomb and Maxine's after a while.
Yeah, yeah. We went to, what's the one across the
street? Tables and L.
Tables and L, yeah.
First.
We went to Tables and L first, and we played, just spontaneously walked in and started playing on their patio. And a lot of people, the people that were there called all their friends, and a bunch of people came out. It ended up being a big party. And then the next week, we were like, oh, that went great. We should do it again. And we showed up, and the lady says, oh, I can't let you in. And we asked her why, and she says, well, the owner came in and counted all the till from the night you guys were here, and it was way too much money, I mean, more than normal. And he asked what was going on, why were there so many people there? And she said, oh, there was a band that showed up to play it, and he was furious about it, that a band had just randomly showed up to play. So they wouldn't let us back. Anyways. Oh. That week, we went to Tables and L to find out we couldn't play, and so we just told everybody that was there, oh, we're going to go across the street to Maxine's. And we went across the street, and the whole bar went with us. You know? Yeah.
Again, uninvited.
Yeah.
We just went and said, hey, can we play music in the corner? We're going to. We paid for our own beer. It was all fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
And we ended up getting kicked out of that place after a couple weeks of them making too much money also.
No, that was more than a couple weeks, man. That was
a couple months.
Yeah, a couple months. We played once a week. This is back before Maxine's is the Maxine's that it is now.
Right, because it was renovated a few years ago.
Yeah, the first reopening after the fire. Just reopened, not the current reopening.
Right.
Yeah.
The day of the week that we were coming, like a Tuesday or something like that, and they were having, it was cheap pitcher night.
Mm-hmm.
And, $4 pitchers.
And that was the reason they asked us to stop playing, because a lot of people started showing up on that night, and everybody was buying pitchers, and they were like, look, we're going through bukus of beer, but we're not really making any money, so.
Yeah, selling out of beer.
Yeah.
So at what point did you decide to start asking people if you could play before showing up to play?
I think a lot of it had to do with Nathan had just started dating his wife, mm-hmm. And she really believed in the band, and we didn't. We're just like, yeah, we'll just show up and hang out.
She was like, I'm going to call somebody and get you guys some gigs.
Yeah, she said, I think you guys could be playing and getting paid. And we're like, that's crazy. You could do whatever you want. So we went from playing uninvited gigs to playing over 20 gigs a month in like overnight. She's like, hey, I got you some gigs next month. We're like, really? She's like, yeah, we got 23.
Yeah.
And then that's how it started. She just booked us a ton of gigs, and we started playing more.
And then it snowballed from there. We're doing like 200 to 250 shows a year. We did that for several years anyways.
And you kind of slowed down. I mean, I think the last time I saw you guys was about almost two years ago at Roots Festival.
Actually, we kind of stopped.
Yeah, right. We just up and quit there for a little while.
How did that happen, the decision to up and stop? I was being polite by saying slowing down.
Yeah, but
if you see Adam's little son, you'd understand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it being a touring musician, a working musician, is not the most lucrative business. Even when you're kind of on the top tier of your subgenre that you're traveling around in, it's not like you're making bukus of money or anything, you know. You're doing good to pay your bills. But that's when you've made it as a working musician, is when you're able to pay your just regular bills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we ever made it to that point. Close, maybe. But,
yeah, it's a self-supporting lifestyle. If you like to constantly be on a road trip, you will make enough money unless the van breaks down. But you can make enough money to eat breakfast the next day and drive to another town.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I mean, if you're doing anything beyond that, you're doing well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's times we came home, we broke even. Like, well, I just went on a road trip for a month, and I spent no money, but I also have no money.
Yeah. And then it gets to the point, too, where, you know, you're traveling so much and playing so much that the only way you can live a life with you know, food in your belly and things of that nature is being on the road. Because when you come home, you're broke, you know, and there's nobody's like handing you food or helping you out, you know. Whereas when you're playing on the road, people are constantly, thank God, helping you out, you know.
Yeah, we've been taken care of by people all over the Midwest primarily, but they take us home, let us sleep at their house, feed us food. And this past weekend, we played in Chicago and saw a lot of the people we hadn't seen in a while. And it's actually really rewarding to see. Like, I got hugs from people from probably 15 states. And there are people I haven't seen in a couple years. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them were people who took care of us. Mm-hmm. Like, took us home, treated us like family. And I'm really grateful for that. I think we all are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys have kind of been dusting off the cobwebs. I know in March, you guys played kind of a surprise show at Smoke and Barrel for the Calamity Cubes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was that just a surprise to us, or did you know that was happening?
We kind of knew it was happening, I guess.
Because you're friends with them.
Not really.
Yeah, that was part of it. Booking shows during the midweek is always difficult, especially if you're a lesser-known band. Mm-hmm. And they were coming to town, and the venue didn't even want to book them because they knew they wouldn't make enough money to pay them. And so we put it into the sweet in the pot. Like, we didn't get paid that night. Mm-hmm. We said, we'll come play and invite everyone we can, and you can give all the money the bar could afford. Mm-hmm. To the Calamity Cubes. Mm-hmm. Because it was a Wednesday night and they're not from here. It's hard to pull a crowd.
We basically don't play for real anymore. We're a charity gig now, I guess. Apparently.
You're a charity gig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. It's not so bad. Did that work out in their favor? Did a lot of people show up because they hadn't seen you guys in a while?
Yeah, I feel like it was
a good crowd, yeah.
I enjoyed it more than going to the bar on the weekend because everyone who was there for the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was crowded enough for the show, but not just, you know, a meat market is crowded with people trying to get drunk and be seen.
Mm-hmm. And then you guys just got back from Chicago. How did, and that was a festival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Windrunners Festival.
Windrunners Festival.
Again, some of the bands we used to tour and play with, there's a kind of genre scene around that. A lot of people call it the Muddy Roots scene, named after Muddy Roots Festival in Tennessee. But there's a booker and guy who does a radio show in Chicago who puts together a festival. It's called Moonrunners Fest, and this is the second year. And he called Adam. I don't even know how that conversation happened, but he convinced Adam it'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't really know how it happened either. I was in St. Louis visiting family, and he called, and I was in a bar visiting family, I'll say that, and was just a tad bit intoxicated, and he called.
He called you at the right time.
He called at the absolute right time. and when he made it sound so appealing, and I was already in a great mood and just happy to hear his voice, you know. And I thought, I'm halfway to Chicago already. I'm in St. Louis, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a few more hours and I'm
it's
there.
Not far.
You know. So that happened. And then I had to call the guys the next day. By the way, we're going to play in Chicago.
I told Joshy we'd play in Chicago. Is that cool?
It was good, though. Like, it was a lot of driving for just a single gig. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we did some touristy stuff this time. We went to the Field Museum of Natural History, saw Sue the T-Rex.
That was nice.
So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. To not just hang out in the bar all day was nice. Like, went and saw some stuff, visited a craft distillery. That was neat.
And locally, folks have another chance to see you on the 16th when you're kind of helping out with the Artisphere kickoff performance.
That's true. We're playing, I believe, on Tyson Plaza in front of the Walton Arts Center as the kickoff to the whole Artisphere event.
Was that another phone call that they just happened to catch you at the right time?
Well, I sometimes work at the Walton Arts Center.
Okay.
And can't think of the woman's name right now. But my boss, Pete Croken, called me in his office. He was like, hey, you guys playing gigs again? I was like, not allegedly, maybe. I don't know. He's like, because we want you to play the Artisphere thing. I was like, I'll see if the guys want to do it. And it's at home. Like, hometown shows are always, like, easy. And we also are playing that Sunday for the Block Street Block Party. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, if we already playing, might as well play twice that weekend for a hometown show. So it should be fun.
And we got real burned out. All of us did a couple of years ago. And, hey, that's kind of fun again. You know?
Well, it's nice to, we did get burned out. I mean, when you're traveling that much and playing, you know, these two guys sitting on either side of me, I know better than, you know, my own family, my brothers, you know, very close. And just because you're forced to spend so much time together, you know. But you were just saying it.
It's kind of fun again.
Oh, it's kind of fun again. Thank you. I knew it was right there.
Yeah, when it got to the point of being work and it wasn't, like you said, lucrative, there wasn't enough money. It wasn't a living. It was a lifestyle. And we kind of had to keep doing it. Like, we had a momentum going. And also, we would, you know, we'd have obligations. We're like, yes, we're definitely going to tour with you as a band and go to your town, or just, like, return favors and continually just keep, you know, I don't know, halfway road tripping all the time.
Yeah.
And now that we're home, it's, we can work, sleep in our own beds, and we actually still see each other every day. We're just not stuck in the van. We don't have to hang out if we don't want to. But Nathan and I have a wood shop with a couple other guys, and Adam drives his mobile mechanic truck into the drive and hangs out with us pretty much every day.
It's just nice to play music for fun again. You know, I know when we first started,
that's the deal.
However many years ago that was, you know, walking into Maxine's, full circle here, walking into Maxine's and playing songs was a blast. I had so much fun. We laughed hysterically and just had a good time. And, you know, you get a little jaded after a while of it becoming more or less work, you know, in your job. To come full circle around and have fun at it again is pretty fantastic, you know. It's great.
Well, are there any other upcoming performances we can look forward to, or should people just kind of follow you guys on Facebook and see what happens?
We don't really play shows anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you might see us around.
We might accidentally show up and play a gig, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, you brought your instruments, so would you like to accidentally play inside our studio?
Yeah, I suppose so. This is Bumming Around. But I saw Arkansas take it all.
standing in some town. She was holding up a sign for downtown. Just looking for some work. She needed a little perk, but I saw society just to let her be. And she said, oh Lord, I'm taking my faith. Oh Lord, I got nowhere to stay. Oh Lord, just a bumming around the day. Town across this land, I gotta see the beauty the best I can. But I look to the east and I look to the west, and every chain has raped your land the best they can. We all sing, oh Lord, I'm taking my pay. Oh Lord, I got nowhere to stay. Oh Lord, just a bumming around.
That was Mark Landry, Adam Cox, and Nathan Miller from Cletus Got Shot. They paid a visit to the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week. The trio will be performing at 5:30 p.m. May 16th at Walton Arts Center's Tyson Plaza as part of the 2014 Artisphere Celebration, and at 8 p.m. May 18th at the Block Street Block Party. For more information, search for Cletus Got Shot on Facebook. To hear another song from the band, tune into Weekend Ozarks at Large. That's Sunday morning at 9 here on KUAF.